What you're saying, we could have just, one of these days, we're just going to keep worshiping. And what it is keep celebrating Jesus Christ. Isn't that? Celebrating our Lord and Savior. Amen. So yeah, I'm wound up as well. And glad to be with you in the house of the Lord. Anybody here glad, happy, joyful? Shouldn't the house of the Lord be the most joyful place? Even in the middle of struggles, because you're with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. So I have a message titled Forfeited Wisdom. Forfeited wisdom, which is not going to be anybody in here, thank you, Lord Jesus. Forfeited. Forfeited. And that's not written correctly, is it? Anyway, it's forfeited wisdom. And talking about wisdom that can be forfeited in an individual's life, amen? Who knows that we need wisdom in today's world? Amen? And so I want to go over some things of what as far as what I thought wisdom was, or it is, but it's not the full extent of wisdom. And then I want to talk about this forfeited wisdom. And so many people understand, let me read a section of scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 12. And here Paul is talking about the 9 spiritual gifts. You know, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, right? And then Paul here is talking about 9 spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 12. And I'll start there. And this is in the New King James Version. It says there are diversity of gifts, okay? Different types of gifts, but the same Spirit of God. Amen. You and I have some of those different giftings are based upon our different personalities. How many know that we all have different personalities? And just because somebody else has a different personality than you doesn't mean they don't have the Spirit of God or don't have the Spirit of God to the degree you have, if you want to put it that way. And there are different ministries. Amen. There are different ministries. Verse 5, but the same Lord. Amen. And there are diversities of activities, things that God has us doing that we're involved in. But it is the same God who works all in all. Amen and amen. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit. To another one, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Did you know there's a gift of faith? There's a gift. I mean, obviously, everybody is born again and saved by faith. Amen? You're saved by faith, but there's a supernatural faith that can come upon somebody for great exploits or to get through a very difficult circumstance. I think Paul probably had the gift of faith when he was floating out on a piece of wood over after a shipwreck. It said he was out in the deep a day and a night. So he probably had supernatural faith that God was going to take care of him. Amen? But the same, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through that same Spirit, to another faith by that same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So although I read all of these different 9 spiritual gifts, today I want to focus on wisdom. You know, let me say this. You guys know this, so I know I'm just, you know, but I'm just going to say, you know, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. You know, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, right? But wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Right? That's wisdom. The application of knowledge. You know, let me give an example, and it just in, I think this is in chapter 6 of Genesis, but verse 13, and God said to Noah, so this is a word knowing the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so right then, God is giving Noah some knowledge, what's going to happen. But then he gives Noah some wisdom. And that wisdom is in verse 14. It says, so make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. And so he gives him wisdom. Well, what's going to happen? And then knowledge of what's going to happen. And then he begins to give him wisdom on how he's going to save him and his family. And so in focusing on wisdom, wisdom, one of the words in the Hebrew for wisdom is Sophia, meaning it can be higher or lower, but we need wisdom on this earth, amen? And there's wisdom in the heavenly places that maybe God will give you and I, but there's a lot of wisdom in the heavenly realms in heaven that I know nothing about right now, but we'll learn about in the coming ages, amen? So knowledge and our wisdom here on earth. And it's able to see things the way they are to make decisions accordingly. Wisdom, you can see things the way they are. Like you need wisdom, or it doesn't take much wisdom to see what's going on in this world today, does it? To see things the way they are. False wisdom, false knowledge, things that are contrary to the Word of God, amen? But the wisdom of God allows us to see through those things and see that there's a demonic foe behind those things, amen, Satan? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. So we know that God gives us wisdom to see the working of the enemies in this day and age. Amen. You know, my understanding of word of wisdom, let me just say this, and I don't know if your experience is mine, and I'm not making fun at this is all. God still does this. God still uses this. But I mention this because this was the extent of how I thought in a roundabout way how God gave wisdom supernaturally. And it was this, my understanding was from 1 Corinthians 12 and those verses I just read is that there would be a group of people. And I remember being young and this was powerful, but this was the extent. It would be a group of people of everyone was praying really hard over someone, maybe in tongues, and then somebody that would be maybe being in a struggle or something going on in their lives, so we'd be praying for them, and that's ministering, that's awesome. It's awesome, believe me. And then after praying for them, somebody would give them a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. And man, that's powerful. That is definitely powerful. God still does that. God will continue to do that. But in my mind, something about supernatural wisdom, it was relegated to maybe that was the only time that God was going to release wisdom to me. I know that you guys don't think that, but there was a time where I thought, if I'm going to get true nugget of wisdom, it's going to be through a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that somebody would give me, and God still does that, right? So that was kind of, for me, in the traditional sense of receiving a word of knowledge. Let me ask you, where do you get your wisdom from? We're going to start talking a little bit about that. Where do you get your wisdom from? Where do you get your wisdom from? So, a group of people who claim to have wisdom, that's not always the truth, but a little bit, and not trying to make anybody upset here, and maybe you'll agree, is sometimes you'll see groups of teenagers claim that I've got wisdom, a lot of wisdom. Anybody, I remember when I was younger. I'm sure, I know it's not, we're not talking about you guys here. A group of people who have wisdom. If you're younger, you can have a lot of knowledge, can't you? You can have a lot of knowledge, young people, but you don't have wisdom yet. You have a little bit. You're learning it. But as a young person, do you remember? I remember when I know that already. How do you know when you hear that when you're trying to explain something to a young person? You ever been there? It's like, I know that. I already know that. I mean, before it even comes out of your mouth, it's like, I know that. Nobody's experienced that with a teenager? Amen? Here's some tell signs. This is what I've learned when you get into your prime, right? Here's where there's some telltale signs. I'm sure it doesn't apply to anybody here. But let me say those anyway. How you know when somebody's really not understanding at least the wisdom I'm talking about is, I know that. they're never wrong. They're never wrong. You ever met people that are never wrong? You bring up a subject and they are the fountain of all wisdom and knowledge. You know, you can be an expert in a field. This is what I've come to understand as I've grown older. I can be an expert in a field, but still wanting to learn more. Still wanting to learn more. You know, one thing I was going to say, being a part of Army Association of Related Ministries International, which you've seen Pastor Freddie and his wife, and then Ben and Kara, who've been pastors, you know, much longer than Gina and I. And so they're around 40. There was a time, you know, where somebody considerably younger than me that I'm not going to listen to you. It's going to have to be somebody older, right? It's going to have to be somebody older. But I know that my heart is beginning to open up to more wisdom when I'm willing to listen to pastors that are younger than I am, but they're imparting wisdom to me. Imparting wisdom. They're in many years in ministry is imparting wisdom to me. Because you can't be, and I don't care who you are or where you think you are, or you could be the head of a company or whatever, but if you don't have a place to go to still get an impartation of wisdom, you'll become stagnant. You'll become stagnant. And all of a sudden you'll get an attitude of, I know that already. I know that. I don't need to. So the telltale sign is, I know that. Now these teenagers have never said that, I'm sure. Right, guys? Put that in your mind. Let that be burnt into your brain. Or 20-somethings. Or 30-somethings. It doesn't really matter the age. Or I can't be wrong. You know, being wrong, whether you're a pastor or leader, and I'm kind of going off the trail a little bit, I'm sorry, is one way you can know somebody is vulnerable if they're admitting if they're wrong. We can all make mistakes. You know, being a leader, whether it be a pastor or whatever, being a leader or a mother or father, there's this pressure sometimes that you've got to know everything. I'm sorry, there's no pastor that knows everything. There's no pastor that has the full will of God, knowing the full will of God for you especially. That God has to be one to reveal that. But vulnerability is to be able to admit when you're wrong or say, I don't know. I don't know, but I'll sure help you find the answer, right? And so true wisdom comes when you start having, regardless of our age, if we can have that attitude, brother and sister. You know, that is a true state of being open for God to continue to bless you with wisdom. You know, I think wisdom was just, used to think it was just a nugget from God that came from his throne room to give someone else or myself wisdom for somebody. But here's where this is where I'm going to start detouring a little bit as I begin to talk to people, as me and my wife may sit down and somebody needing some counseling, right? Which we're glad to do. Or when you start getting older, people sometimes will start seeking you out to ask you questions. And I'm starting to realize that the things that have taken place during the course of my life have become a wellspring of wisdom. See, it comes up from here. It doesn't even come from here. I got a connection with God, but it's already laying in my spirit, man, in my soul realm. It's already there, and all of a sudden it starts to come forth and bubble up, and I begin to tell things. People will begin to say things to me, and I can pick from different things that have happened in my life, and good things and bad things I'll talk about to be a wellspring of wisdom for people I'm talking about, based upon things that I've experienced and gone through in my life. Amen and amen. Amen. Proverbs 14:33 says this, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. Did you hear that? Wisdom rests in the heart of him who understands. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. See, there's some wisdom there that's in the heart of you. As a man or a woman already, we're gonna talk about how to mine that, how to pull that forward. Amen. See, knowledge is information received in your brain. Has anybody got a lot of knowledge? Boy, we look at knowledge all day long. I mean, I can do the same thing, whether it be biblical knowledge or economic knowledge or whatever your interest is, learning more about fishing, hunting, whatever, golfing, horseback riding, horses, right? Trains, planes, and automobiles. Amen. So knowledge is information received in your brain. It can be from the Bible. I talk about all these wonderful truths. Knowledge on salvation, knowledge on healing, knowledge on finances, knowledge on the gifts of God. But you know, wisdom is how knowledge becomes applied. This is how it's applied or activated. Wisdom is how knowledge becomes applied or activated. Understanding is that bridge between knowledge and wisdom. So you get this information and things and you start walking it out. It turns into understanding, and then it becomes wisdom. Stick with me. Don't turn me off yet, okay? Don't shut me out yet. Knowledge. I did not understand why, you know, this is an example. I didn't understand why my father disciplined me when I was younger. But boy, now I'm grateful for it. I said, now I am grateful for it. See, I didn't understand some of those disciplines. But now that I've gotten wisdom, I certainly see how it applies. You know, I have to give an example of my own life. Like 23 years ago, I got a real estate license. So I got all this information. I mean, a ton of information. All this stuff, and you take this test and you memorize stuff, but you don't know how it applies. Did you know we can memorize a lot of scriptures in the Bible and not understand how it applies? I've learned through the years of just memorizing scriptures and in not turning to wisdom in my life. I'll talk more about that. So I got this real estate license and had all this knowledge, and then I had no wisdom. I made all these mistakes, and I became very discouraged. And if I hadn't had these certain mentors in my life, like many people that went in that field, that would just eventually just give up and quit and not continue. Because I didn't know how to take all that knowledge and turn it into wisdom. But as I began to not give up and not quit, through my mistakes, unfortunately, many of the things that I learned that turned into wisdom were through the mistakes that I made that then became wisdom, potholes and different things in that field that I would sidestep and not do that same thing again. So those things became wisdom to me as I began to practice them. It was amazing. And then as I began to practice that year after year after year, I decided I wanted to teach real estate school. And I wanted to teach real estate school because I could take that knowledge, I felt like, and turn it into, take my wisdom and teach that and make it applicable to those students. See, the individual that had taught my school claimed to be an attorney, a real estate attorney, and all these different things. And so she would just tell all these stories during class, and then we'd have to study on our own, but she turned out to be a fraud. She turned out to be a fraud. I don't know if she went to jail, she should have. So on top of it, there was nobody that was teaching me the application. Did you know the importance of a body is us demonstrating the application to the Word of God with one another? Did you know that? The kindness, the goodness, the giftings in your life on display to others will allow them to see something and say, oh, that's how that scripture's applied. Then it becomes wisdom to you. Then it becomes wisdom to you. Knowledge to me, to know something means knowledge now opens wisdom. It's experience. So what did I do from there? I started teaching this class and teaching you how these things that I had learned through the years, how this applies. I was taking all my wisdom through all of my mistakes, my trials, and then teaching others. Amen? One thing I have realized, saints, I hope you realize this. If you don't, that by the end of this sermon today, you will. One thing I have realized, past failures, past miserable failures, can actually become a wellspring of wisdom, not only for your life, but others. Let me just say that's where I'm getting to. I said past failures, miserable failures, can actually become a wellspring of wisdom for you and for others. See, religion won't allow you to do that because you're already disqualified, and you'll never measure up to somebody who didn't make that mistake. So now you're already a couple notches less than, and you'll become more discouraged because you think, well, I can't do what God has called me to do because of these mistakes. Then you become more discouraged, and that's how the enemy works. Bad experiences will actually bring life or death to you. Bad experiences can bring life or death to you. Look at Jesus. I want to read 1 Corinthians 1:30. You know, Jesus' experiences on earth looked like permanent death, but actually became the source of all life. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness, amen, and sanctification and redemption. That is, it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. See, Jesus went through everything, every trial, every tribulation, and yet was perfect without sin. Matter of fact, in Hebrews it says he learned obedience to the things that he suffered. We're talking about the Son of God. He did it perfectly, amen, and hung on the cross, all my sin, hanging there, amen, because I'm the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So all the failures of my life, past life, were hanging on the cross with him because he went through all of those things but did not fail. You know, if he hadn't been through all those things, he couldn't have the compassion for me. He knew what it was like to be totally rejected. He knew what it was like more than anybody to have Satan hot on his tracks to bring him down. He knew what it was like to have everybody to have a false motive, wanting something from him, but not really caring for him. Experienced all those things where he comes to the cross and it looks like a complete failure, but it was actually the source of all life. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me talk about a couple failures. I know you know these, but can I mention a couple failures of people? You know about Peter's failure, but I want to just go over this a little bit more. Luke 22:31. You know about Peter denying the Lord, right? So this is Jesus talking to Peter, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, help me in my weakness. Lord, help me with... Oh, no, he didn't quite say that, did he? No, he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Wow. Prison and to death. And so he's making his declaration, I'm not going to fail you, Lord. I'm making my declaration now that no matter what happens, me and you're tight. I'm your main boy, you know that, Lord. You've heard this 3.5 years, I've told you how tight I am with you. I've told you how I will stick with you. And then we go further down in that chapter, Luke 22, starting in verse 60, but Peter said, man, they're saying, hey, aren't you one of those? Aren't you one of his disciples? And I mean, it didn't take long for Peter to just bust, to just crumble. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And in one of the other gospels, it says that he called down curses. I mean, he said, man, let me show you, I'm not one of his. I'm going to start cussing and ranting and raving so you know for sure that I don't have anything to do with him. Immediately while he was still speaking, remember, because Jesus says before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So Peter went and wept bitterly. You know, Peter's experience probably it produced shame, anger, felt like a failure, right? After all this boasting, felt like he no longer qualified. I mean, surely John, the disciple John now, right? You know him? Surely John should now be the spokesman for the apostles, shouldn't he? After all, he had a revelation of God's love. He didn't keep putting his foot in his mouth like Peter. John 19, it says the apostle whom Jesus loved, even when he's writing the book of John, he calls himself the apostle or the disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen. So John 19 says the apostle whom Jesus loved takes Jesus' mother. So this is while Peter's denying Christ and then runs and hide. This is what John's doing. John is at the foot of the cross with Jesus. And Jesus says, looks at John and says, hey, here's my mother. Basically, take care of my mother. John stuck it out all the way through, man. I mean, he was faithful. He may have been confused. There might be a struggle, but he was there at the cross when Peter was tucked at the big mouth. The boaster was running and hiding. You may say, what's the big deal about Peter, what he did? I mean, after all, he'd only been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He'd heard the most anointed, powerful sermons ever preached. Don't you agree? Amen. He was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. Could you imagine that? He saw Moses. He saw Elijah. He heard the Father with his own ears say, this is my son, whom I am well pleased. Listen to what he has to say. He was in that inner circle. There was the 12, but then he was in that inner circle, the three, Peter, James, and John. He was close. He was closer than any other ones. He was there when people were raised from the dead. He was there when the 5,000 were fed, all manner of healings. So Peter does the most unimaginable thing. It wasn't a moral failure. It wasn't one of those many wicked things you or I could imagine that Peter could do. No, it wasn't that. So it was Peter saying, I never knew you. And on top of that, maybe Peter went back to what he had heard Jesus say in Matthew 10:32. Maybe this was ringing in his ears as well. Matthew 10:32 and 33 says this, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who's in heaven. Wow. Did Jesus say those words? Did Peter deny Jesus? Oh yeah, 3 times. And he said, let me talk like a sailor so you know I don't know him. You know, one person I love to bring up, and I had before, I think of somebody who was a great failure, was Abraham Lincoln. What a failure that guy was for many years, before he became president. Before he became president, he won 1 2-year term to the House of Representatives, and they said, we don't want this guy back. He had a failed business. He had a failed law practice that closed up. All these failures. Let me say as I go on to the next point, I want to say this as I move on. Did we get it that Peter failed miserably? Okay. Let me just say this. Satan is terrified of your failures. Listen to me as I move on. Saints, I want to tell you this as we move on. Satan is terrified of your failures. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, hallelujah, for the accuser of our brethren, who's that? Satan, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And I hope in your life today that the accuser of every past failure that we hold against ourselves or we discount ourselves, man, we can do that for such a long time that we don't realize we do that. We can do that for such a long time that we don't even realize we do that. And it says in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. By the word of their testimony. Let me see, Psalms 107, let me talk a little bit about the Psalms 107, 1 and 2 says this, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, amen. For his mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. The redeemed of the Lord shall say so. Those who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Did you know he's redeemed you from every past failure? every current struggle. Did you know he's going to redeem you in the future with everything that you face? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, admitting, let me just go on this. Satan is terrified of your failures because he knows that those will can turn in, if you allow it, into the wisdom of God to give you strength, to give you boldness, to give you wisdom for other people that have gone through the exact same thing or will go through the same thing. God can give you boldness to declare the truth, the love, the forgiveness, the goodness of God. Hallelujah. So that you can help other people. Some of the most wise people I know have been in the most miserable failures when they were younger or whatever age. They were the most miserable failures. Admitting your failures, by the way, isn't it weakness? It's a sign of wisdom. Somebody's getting a call. Tell them to come on down and join us. As I move this, I want to say this. Admitting failures isn't weakness. It's a sign of God's wisdom in your life. I'm telling you, if there's anything I've learned. Even Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. We know the great apostle Paul. And he said to me, Mike, just talking about God, said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Did you hear that, saints? I would rather boast in my weaknesses. Therefore, I delight in the weaknesses, insults, and distresses, and persecutions, and difficulties in behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me tell you the saints, he was saying this, I'll boast in my weaknesses, because if you read a couple chapters before that, he's telling them and saying, man, you compare me to other apostles, and you think I'm inferior to them. And he says, I feel like I have to boast, that I have to prove to you that I'm an apostle, that I have to prove to you that God's wisdom lies with me. He says, I feel like I have to prove to you. He was the one who started that church. He says, I feel like I'm having to prove to you, man, that I'm worthy to be your apostle. So what did Paul in the end, he talks about some boasting, but it was about everything that he had been through, everything that he had struggled with. And then he says, you know what? This is what I've decided. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. I'm going to boast in those things that make me seem weak. See, the flesh in the world says, no, you got to look strong. You got to look like you have everything together. You got to look like that you're all that in a bag of chips, right? But Paul says this, he says, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. Because when I'm boasting in my weaknesses, the power of God rests upon me. Saints, things that have happened in the past that even in our subconscious will keep us down. The reason why this became a message for me is I was around some leaders that I knew from many years ago. And there's nothing wrong with them. I love them, but they knew a lot of my shortcomings. They knew a lot of my failures. So when I got around them, I felt a little bit ashamed. I felt a little bit inadequate. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, Chad, all those failures that you had over and over and over and over again is why you're in the pulpit. Because you did not give up. Amen. Saints, those things, that's why do you think the enemy slanders you about your past? It's because he knows the power of God's wisdom to be released in your life when you forgive yourself, forgive others, and you say, God, these things that have happened, even if they're shameful, say, Lord, these things are going to be to the glory of God. They're going to be to the glory of God as I forgive myself and forgive others. You know, I think about the woman at the well who had been married 5 times, found Jesus. I can guarantee you one thing, that lady was full of wisdom. I can tell you that lady was full of wisdom. I can tell you that she came to know her Savior, and her past did not define her future in the name of Jesus. You know, it's time for the body of Christ to allow their past failures to do what Jesus Christ wants it to do, to be a wellspring of life and wisdom. and strength and ability and truth and goodness and compassion to others. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. So I say this again. It's okay to be wrong sometimes. Amen. We all make mistakes. People who point to everyone else's mistakes but can't admit their own haven't really entered into wisdom. I've been there. If you start feeling comfortable in your own skin with your weaknesses, and you allow people to speak into your life or give you some wisdom where you would usually have this up, nah, I already know that. I know everything there is to know about whatever subject, whether it be spiritual in the world. When I've realized that, when I've removed that in my heart, and I carry no shame of the past, regardless of their age, I've got ears to say, hey, maybe I can learn something here. I may be somewhat of an expert in an area, but I don't know everything. I'm still open to wisdom. So what's some of the keys here? Do not give up. You can't give up. I mean, who are you in Christ anyway? Who are you in Christ? I'm thankful for God as he'll be bringing people in with terrible backgrounds and seeing God wash them, cleanse them, heal them, deliver them, and fill them with the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And use him for his glory. Use him for his glory. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the offense of the one, who was that original offender? Adam, that rascal Adam, right? And Eve, actually Eve, and then Adam. For if the offense of the one, death reigned through that one, amen? Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace. Have you received his abundance of grace? Have you received his forgiveness for all of your sins, all of your past, all of your struggles, all of those things? You know, I talked to an individual who was getting ready to start a ministry helping other married couples. And I knew I was on the right track because he called me. He says, man, I was just laying down. And he says, it was like it just overtook me. All these things I had done in the past, all these shameful things, past relationships, stealing from people, he was talking about, all these different things. And then I just started believing. I said, that's an attack of the enemy to keep you from doing what the Lord wants you to do here. Yes. I said, that's an attack. I said, do not. And then he said he would tell me about how he would have these cycles where he would just continue over and over, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me of that. And then realizing that and speaking with him and say, hey, he has forgiven you. Have you asked for his forgiveness? Yes. Is his blood enough or isn't? And so the enemy slandering him was trying to keep him where he would not go forward. See, the enemy slandering, thank God we don't have anybody that slanders their, if you're married in here, that slanders her spouse. Let me give you my definition. Bringing up the same thing over and over and over again. 5 years later, when they're upset, bringing that up. 10 years later, when they're upset, bringing that up. Did you know we're doing the work of the enemy? That's slander. Somebody who's asked forgiveness, asked the Father's forgiveness, even maybe asked our forgiveness, and we keep bringing it up, we're doing the devil's job. That is the definition of slander. What we're saying is you're asking for forgiveness is not enough. And Jesus is saying, hey, man, when you've asked me forgiveness for everything that you've done, it was enough. Give that same, offer that same gratitude, love, kindness, and forgiveness to others. Hallelujah. I threw that bonus one in for free. And so here it is, as the worship team comes. What I've learned when I've dealt with these things, when we were worshiping, thank you, worship team. Don't you love our worship team? Wow. So what I'm going to go back when I was around those pastors from those many years ago, I was like, ah, I was still caring. And some of those back then, they didn't restore me. They didn't, they didn't know how, or they just said, man, you had the calling of God on your life, but we're sorry at the time. Whatever that means, calling of God, right? Boy, that would preach itself. And so going around there and feeling that, at any time we feel inadequate in an area, there's some shame involved there. Amen?
Yeah.
Anytime you feel less than others, when you've asked, if you need to ask others to forgive you, do it. Amen? You've asked your Father God to forgive you. Anytime you feel shame or inadequacy, there's still an issue there. There's still an issue there. So the thing is to say, Lord, I give this to you. I'm a living sacrifice. Can we stand up? See, in myself, I can't be a living sacrifice. Remember in the law, he says you can't bring a lamb that's got any defect. Amen? How many have some defects in your flesh?
Amen.
But how many believe that your spirit is made brand new in Jesus Christ? How could he live in you? He's perfect and holy. If you know him as your personal Savior, his spirit is housed in you. I said his spirit is housed in you. And so what this is what I've learned is when last Wednesday I had to just the Lord, just this understanding. I was in the middle of worship and all these things that were coming against me. We all have the enemy trying to poke and prod at you. And this is what I did. I said, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm righteous. I'm perfectly righteous in Jesus Christ because of his sacrifice. See, he is the lamb that had no spot. He was the lamb that was perfect. He's the lamb that was tried in every way that the enemy could get to him but could not. So when as the Lamb of God, as he hung on that cross for you and I, all of my sin, all of my shame, all of my mistakes, all of that was on the cross. And the wrath of God, the wrath of God against sin was poured out upon Jesus so that I could stand here boldly in righteousness. In righteousness. Man, that is enough to wash away every past shameful act, every sinful act, and to bring healing for every sinful act that came against you. Because of the perfect Lamb. God gave his very best so that you and I could walk in total freedom. Father, I just thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Living sacrifices. Maybe do what I'm doing. Lord, thank you. I'm a living sacrifice. So finishing that, I'm said, I'm a living sacrifice. I belong to you. All these things that are trying to come against me, I don't know how to take care of all of them. I don't know what to do necessarily, but I know one thing. I belong to you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. Amen. You've washed me. You've cleansed me. As we trust God, what happens is those things that even our conscience that bring shame or timidity or will lash out. Amen. God takes those things. They actually are washed away, but then God leaves wisdom in those areas to tell other people how to avoid traps, to have a love for people who seem unlovable, as God will begin to release all this wisdom from inside you. Do you know you have more wisdom than you realize? Right in your belly, right in the soul realm, right where the spirit and the soul meet. You have all this wisdom. The things that maybe have come against you that you might be angry or resentful about it, that you know if you'll let those things go, God will make those wisdom for other people. God will make them wisdom in the house of God. How many people now won't have anything to do with the house of God?
Amen.
That if they would just begin to say, Lord, I belong to you. I love my brothers and sisters. Lead and guide me. Could become a well house of wisdom for other people. It'll never happen. It gets stopped up. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying they're not born again.
Yes.
But an area that God wanted to turn into wisdom, strength, and joy. Hallelujah. Get stopped up. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, that we belong to you. Father God, we thank you that we, Lord, that those that know you, Lord, thank you that you've washed everything from the past. And Lord, we thank you for those things that we struggled with, or maybe you'll show us. can actually be a wellspring of life and wisdom and joy and peace and strength and goodness. Amen. I want to give one more example that comes to mind. So me and Gina have a friend who's a well-known businessman in the Prescott area. And when he was younger, he was a married man. And he fell into homosexuality. Wow. Lost his wife. Devastated. Full of shame. Full of all kinds of bondage. But you know what he just, what he did? He turned to the Lord. He believed what the Word of God said about righteousness and who he was and his righteousness, and he began to pursue the Lord. God began to deliver him, set him free, remove the shame, remove the guilt, remove all those things that would say, hey, you're not going to amount to anything in the Lord. And today, he's got a wonderful ministry to those that struggle with same-sex attraction.
Yes, Jesus.
God has turned that to wisdom. By the way, he's still a very successful businessman, giving to his community, and God has took all of that and turned it to absolute gold. That's what our God does. Hallelujah!
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Thank you for setting your people free from the past. Why does the enemy always try to slander you? Because he knows that is the key to your power. Hallelujah. That is the key to your power. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, we'll have some people up here that'll pray with you. If you need someone just to agree with you in prayer for a situation that you want someone just to minister to you, could be about the past, someone just to agree with you and pray, or if you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, would you come up here? I would love to pray with you and lead you to your Maker, He who loves you, who died for you, who wants to wash your sins away, who wants to give you a new beginning. Amen. Who wants to give you a new beginning? Please come up and pray with us. Do you love Him this morning? Father, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. If you feel okay too, will you lift your hands real quick and just say, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. I belong to you. I'm a living sacrifice. I belong to you. Lead and guide my life. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your freedom and thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you, Father, for revealing your goodness, your grace, your kindness. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads a man or a woman to repentance. It says in Romans chapter 2, it's the kindness of the Lord, how he loves you. Father, we exalt you and we praise you. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the truth, the application of truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, hallelujah. Do you love the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, we love you.